Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Why were we put here? I think everyone wants to know, why were we put here? Why are we on earth?
My purpose in life is to live a normal life, to be a citizen, a productive citizen.
Intentar pasar por la vida de la manera más desapercibida posible.
I don't fully know why I'm here, but I enjoy that. I enjoy knowing that because then that creates endless possibilities for myself.
I would like to make a difference, even if it's only in one life. I'd prefer to do more.
Because I think the meaning of life, in my opinion, is to find something that you're passionate about and use that passion to make the world around you a better place.
Does life have a purpose? Man, what a great question. What a deep question for us to explore together this morning. When my son Jack was a little guy, he was fascinated with Thomas the Tank Engine. Anybody know who Thomas the Tank Engine is? Yep. Any parents in the middle of the night walking to your child's room ever step on the cold, hard steel of a Thomas the Tank Engine? That'll cripple you just like a Lego will, man. I mean, it'll bend you over. Well, when Jack was little and he would see Thomas on TV or he would be playing with his Thomas the Tank Engine train set, he would always say, just like Thomas's friends would, "Hello, Thomas." I mean, that would happen all throughout the day, all throughout our home. And man, I mean, Jack knew all, and subsequently Allison and I knew all of the trains who were Thomas's friends. And Jack would tell them by name. He would show you all of his friends. And he'd, "This is James, and this is Percy, and this is Gordon, and Emily, and Henry, and Edward, and Tony." And on and on and on. I mean, it's like every day he would do that. And in Jack's room, he had the whole Thomas the Tank Engine train set where we would play for hours and hours and hours. And around the train tracks, we would push Thomas and his friends, and we would sing the song. Oh, have you ever sung the Thomas the Tank Engine song? Yeah, there's some parents sitting here going, "Oh, don't do that. Yeah, it's going to be back. I'm fixing to start getting a twitch from singing that song again." But here's how it went, just in case you aren't familiar. It would start off, "They're two, they're four, they're six, they're eight. Feel free to join in. Shunting trucks and hauling freight. Red and green and brown and blue. They're the really useful crew. All with different roles to play. Around Tidmouth sheds or far away. Down the hills and round the bend." You know it. You're coming right out of that Thomas closet just going, "Yes, I'm a part of that." Thomas and his friends. We sing it every single day. And we would play Thomas the Train and we would sing the song. And Jack would say this every single day. He goes round and round, round and round, round and round. When you stop and think about it, the real purpose behind me getting down on the floor and playing trains with Jack was not to figure out, "Wonder what's going to happen next." Because every time I got down on the floor to play Thomas and his friends with Jack, the train did what? He went round and round, round and round. See, the real purpose that I would play trains with Jack was all about the relationship I was building with my son. See, without the relationship, all we were doing was just going round and round, round and round, hour after hour, day after day, with no real purpose. See, that purpose of playing Thomas the Tank Engine with Jack was about that relationship that he and I were building together. It was about sharing those moments together. It was about laughing together. It was about creating together. It was about imagining together what all Thomas and his friends were really doing. It was about being together. And that's what really brought purpose to those moments in the floor of his room together. It never really was about the trains going round and round, round and round. And the purpose of those moments that we share in life are all about the relationship. Kids, draw me a picture this morning of those times in your life, the special times with your mom or your dad or your family that are the most special moments. For me, it was playing trains with my son, Jack. What is it with you and your family? Is it going somewhere on a trip? Is it playing catch outside? Is it having a meal together? Draw me the picture that you think about when you think of those really special moments with your family. And when we're done this morning, I want you to put it on my picture spot out in the Home Life Center. I want to see what you think are the most special moments in the relationships that you have with your parents. The purpose, I'll say it again, of those moments are all about the relationships. And all of life, when you stop and think about it, is about relationships. If you stop and think about it long enough, but see, here's the truth. The truth is this. Most of the time, we don't stop and think about it because we just speed through life, don't we? I mean, have you ever stopped long enough to think, wait a minute, why am I speeding through life so fast? Why are we speeding through life going round and round on this big, giant ball of dirt called Earth? I mean, if you just stop long enough and think about it, have you ever considered all of your goals, all of your pursuits, all of your dreams, all of your achievements are a lot like Thomas the train just going round and round? What's the point in all that? What really is the purpose behind it? See, I believe that if there is no God, and thus no ultimate relationship, then it all really does add up to nothing. Did you know that that is one thing that most people with a faith and most atheists find common ground upon? You go, really? What? It's this. If there is no God, then there's no ultimate purpose in life. I'm going to ask you to really think this morning. Not just open up and be spoon-fed. Really think with me. Engage mentally this morning. Let's explore this morning. Man, I'm so indebted to John Burke at Gateway Church in Austin who spoke on this very subject of does life have a purpose? I'm using many of his words this morning because I just thought they so connected as we're starting this series off. He pointed to some of the great philosophers. Leo Tolstoy summed it up when he said this, "What is life for? To die? To kill myself? No, I'm afraid of death. To wait for death till it comes? I fear that even more. Well, then I must live. But what for? In order to die?" You know what Tolstoy was pontificating about? Round and round. Round and round. What's the purpose of this life that I'm living? Ernest Hemingway says it like this, "Life is just a dirty trick. It's a short journey from nothingness to nothingness." And not believing that God had a purpose for him, he took his own life. Henry David Thoreau said it like this, "Most people live lives of quiet desperation." All these philosophers, all these writers are thinking about that big question, does life have a purpose? And what I think is interesting is that one of the first people to write about this struggle for meaning and purpose in life lived about 3,000 years ago. His name was Solomon. Solomon was the king of Israel. He was known as the wisest and the wealthiest man of his time. And Solomon got really, really famous, and he started to believe and think and wonder if he really even needed God in his life. And instead, he started out on his own journey to find out once and for all what the purpose of this life really is all about. And he was rich enough, and he was famous enough, and he was powerful enough to actually try everything he wanted to try under the sun. Even better than that, King Solomon ended up making his life adventure into his own type of reality show. And he wrote it all down, and it's called Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is the written account of King Solomon's exploits that he journaled and that actually became one of the books in the Bible. And I want you to see this morning a couple of things that he says. Look with me how Solomon sums up what he did. If you have your Bible, open with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. It's kind of in the middle of your Bible. If you didn't bring a Bible or you need some help finding it, there should be a Bible right in front of you there. And Ecclesiastes chapter 2 is where we're going to be. It's on page 553. Page 553, if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you. If you don't have a Bible, come see me when we're finished this morning, and I'll give you a brand new Bible as a gift. I just want everybody to have access to a Bible. But look with me at what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Just wants to look at a couple of verses. Look at verses 9 and 10 with me. Here's what Solomon wrote. He says, so I became great, and I surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Man, if you take time to just read through the 12 chapters of Ecclesiastes, what we see and what you would see is that Solomon really did try it all in answering or trying to answer that big question, does life have a purpose? Solomon did the equivalent of doctoral research trying to pursue the answer to that question. I mean, Solomon, if you read through Ecclesiastes, he either bought or built everything you can possibly imagine to try to find meaning and purpose in life. He slept with every girl that he wanted to. He had every kind of toga party and all that goes with that that you could possibly imagine. I mean, this guy partied until he could not party anymore. I mean, the stuff that Solomon did and experimented with would have made Hugh Hefner look like Mother Teresa. I mean, this guy was going crazy in his life. Solomon tried and experimented with everything as he fulfilled every adventurous fantasy, every crazy and foolish stunt you can possibly think of. Solomon was the first thrill seeker, and he had the bank account and the connections to make everything he wanted to try a reality. He did it all. And yet after reading the accounts, after experimenting all the accounts, and after he wrote them down, trying to figure out, does life have a purpose? Here's how Solomon sums it all up. He actually begins Ecclesiastes with his findings. And then the rest of Ecclesiastes just unpacks all the things that he did. But he starts off his journal entry, basically, with his findings. And here's what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. He says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, says Solomon. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You can take that word vanity out and change it for another way that word in Hebrew is translated. Meaningless. 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 All is meaningless. Is what Solomon's conclusion was. Meaningless. Wow. That's not real encouraging, is it? Never heard Tony Robbins say that. Oh, it's going to be meaningless today. That's not exactly the pump you up and take control of your destiny message to start your day. I mean, go check out the New York Times bestseller list. Your meaningless life now. No, nobody's going to buy that one. But if you realize what Solomon realized, it actually isn't a downer. It actually can bring all kinds of hope. It actually can bring all kinds of meaning. It actually can help us explore those deep, deep questions. And that's what I want us to do this morning as we begin to explore God together and we openly and honestly ask the hard questions. I want us to stop and think about this question. What makes the most sense out of our human experience? To just try to kind of step back for a second and go, of everything that we're going to be talking about, what just makes the most sense? That's beginning to be intellectually honest with ourselves and with whatever we're exploring together. See, I think we shortchange our lives at times because we don't stop and ask, why? We don't ask why nearly enough. What makes the most rational and logical sense when it comes to why we are the way we are? Why we feel the way we feel? Let's just say that there's two top opinions to respond to that question. Why? Let's say that one option is this, that science has tried to answer the why question with a response that we merely are highly evolved cogs in a machine of random chance, okay? Let's just say that's one of the responses to the why question, that we're just random, we've just evolved into this. There's no real rhyme or reason behind it. We just evolved into who we are and how we are. Well, Cornell biologist William Payne says, if that is true, then that means that there's no life after death, there is no right or wrong, and there is no ultimate meaning to life. Let's say our other option is that the existence of God is actually the best explanation for why we are here. And if we can figure out why we are the way that we are, well, then perhaps we can be able to start understanding if indeed life really does have a purpose. So let's be open-minded. Let's be intellectually honest. Let's be curious. And let's consider both of those options today. Let's just say that the evolutionary theory that many of us were taught in school is totally true. And that there is no God. Let's just say that's one position that we're going to explore. By the way, many scientists and people of faith think that it is not completely an either-or situation. Meaning parts of evolutionary theory can be true and God can have created. There are many people in both camps that believe those are not mutually exclusive. But for our purposes today, okay, just play along with me. For our purposes today, let's try and just begin by assuming the extreme position. There's no God. Evolution explains it all, okay? But if we're going to be intellectually honest and we're really going to be open-minded, then we can't stop asking the question, why? Why? So let's ask why of these different positions, these different views this morning that we're starting to consider and beginning to explore. So let's just think together for a few moments. We as human beings, we fight against the meaninglessness in life, right? Right? Yeah, we do. We want meaning in our life. We want purpose in our life. We fight against feeling meaningless. But why? I mean, doesn't something in your soul just scream out that you're supposed to have some meaning, that you are more than just evolutionary matter? When you stop and think about it, isn't that what we try to prove to the world each day, that we're worth something? That we're of value? But why? As existentialist philosopher John Paul Sartre once said, man is absurd, but he must grimly act as if he were not. But why? Why do we have to act that way? Why do we desperately desire to believe that our life actually matters and that it has purpose? Because if you think about it, if we are the most highly evolved species on planet Earth, and that means that our mutations throughout time are the ones that have been randomly selected to best keep us in survival, survival of the fittest. Have you ever heard about that? Yeah, natural selection, survival of the fittest. Then we must ask the question, if that's true, then why are we so poorly adapted to our surroundings emotionally? And mentally. Let me explain. You got to think with me this morning. You got to engage with me. Some of you are going, doot, doot, where's Thomas? I just want to go round and round. You're thinking too deeply. Why do we worry and fret that our lives aren't going to amount to much? See, if this is the view of evolutionary theory, and if it's true, then of course your life isn't going to amount to much. Not if there's no God. So just relax. Don't get a salad today. Go all in and eat red meat and get something fried. Think about it. If there's no life beyond the grave, you live, you die, you're worm food, that's it. Soon all of your achievements are going to be forgotten. You're going, man, you're kind of a downer. No, I'm just playing this view out. Your children's children soon will forget your name. At some point, the universe is going to cool down because the sun's going to burn out, and we're all going to be gone. And ultimately, it's all going to be for nothing. Vanity, meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Just like Solomon said, right? But if this is true, if this is reality, if this is where we've come from, then shouldn't we have been adapted to all that through evolution and just quit asking these questions and instead just evolve into being okay with our purposelessness in life? But we don't seem to be evolving that way. You go, how can you say that? Because I talk to little kids. Have you ever talked to a first grader? You just ask them, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? I've never, ever heard one say, well, I'm going to live, I'm going to color a while, and then I'm going to die. Because I've evolved and mutated that way. I'm just trying to be intellectually honest here. No, you ask, man, what do you want to do? They're going to talk about how they're going to be a superhero, how they're going to be great at this. They're going to be awesome at this. Nobody ever says, man, I'm going to be middle management one day, and that's going to be great. No, they're dreaming.
Their life's got a purpose ahead of them. They're fired up. There's hope in their voices and in their answers. They answer with purpose in their little lives that lie ahead, as if somebody has sown it into their soul. How do you explain that? Because if you're intellectually honest and you think about that with me, lower evolved life forms don't seem to really be struggling with those things, those questions about identity and purpose, do they? You don't see your cat feeling worthless because they weren't a dog. Oh, they should be. You don't see dogs feeling in despair because they're not achieving their life goals. I never catch the car. Every time my master walks me, he goes this way, I go this way, and the tree's in the middle. I just can't get it right. So it's a fair question to ask, if lower life forms are not despairing over meaning and purpose in life, then why are we so maladapted as a higher and more sophisticated life form? If we somehow are the higher evolved from a purposeless nothing, why are we still this way? Just doesn't make sense, does it? The Zen masters have a proverb that says, a finger is excellent for pointing at the moon, but woe to the person who mistakes the finger for the moon. So what is it that is this insatiable desire for meaning and purpose? What is it pointing toward? That's the real question. That is the real question. And that's our other option that we mentioned earlier that we also need to consider. I mean, I'm going to acknowledge we did a very high 30,000, 60,000 foot level of looking at evolutionary theory in an extreme position. I get it, okay? I get it. Let's just remain intellectually honest. Let's remain curious. Let's do the same kind of very high-level exploration, assuming that there is indeed a God who has indeed created us, created you, created me. What if it actually does make a whole lot more sense to begin to explore God as the answer to these questions regarding meaning and purpose in life? I mean, is it not reasonable to at least acknowledge that a reason that we might feel the way we do regarding a desire to understand our purpose in life is indeed due, in fact, to a possibility that we could have a creator who made us this way? Man, wouldn't it explain a lot if that really were true? That we do have a creator who created us on purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose. On purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose. Just listen to what the words of the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah talk about as we consider the possibility that life does indeed have a purpose because a creator God has made us on purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose. You might want to jot this down. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, the Lord says this, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And man, that is the message that we see proclaimed over and over all throughout the Old Testament prophets, that you and I were created on purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose. And the purpose is for you to experience a relationship with your Creator, a relationship with God. Our relationship with God is what gives purpose to our lives. That's the answer to the question. Does life have a purpose? Yes. It's purposed around a relationship with your divine creator. Do you know that the Bible says God created you as his work of art? That means that your true identity has actually been formed and fashioned, made by the hands of God for his pleasure, his purposes, and it's not just to go, say it with me, round and round. No. But rather to find fulfillment in a relationship with God as your creator. The Apostle Paul wrote it like this in the New Testament about you and I being God's work of art. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says it like this: "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." See, that means that part of our purpose is found and is fulfilled when we walk in the life God created for us to live as he has designed. That's why it's called intelligent design, because we have an intelligent designer. Because God is our intelligent designer who has a life with purpose attached for each one of his creations. To be walked in, to be lived out to the fullest possible degree that is experienced in the context of loving relationships with God and loving relationships with others. Just think of the cross. This way, a relationship with God, and this way, a relationship with others. Around here, we call that being in community. In community with our Creator God, through a relationship with His Son Jesus Christ, empowered by His Holy Spirit and guided by His Holy Word. And then in relationship, in community with others who are trying to follow His will for their lives, His purpose for their lives. But we wander far from God, don't we? Can we just say yes on three? One, two, three. Yes. We all do. Much like King Solomon did. We tend at times to lose our way, forget our identity. We begin to struggle again with our purpose in life. Our hearts begin to thirst for something that eventually we realize can never, ever fully satisfy us apart from God, from our Creator, who created us on purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose. Maybe you don't believe that. It's okay, I'm glad you're here, at least exploring it. I just wonder if we'd be open-minded enough to continue exploring the possibility that it actually might be true, that there is indeed a Creator who created you and me on purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose. I mean, something has to explain what really drives us as human beings to understand this insatiable desire for meaning and purpose in life. You ever heard of a guy named Dr. Wilder Penfield? Did that name ever ring a bell to you? No? Dr. Penfield was a neurosurgeon who mapped the human brain and its functioning areas while he was actually doing surgeries. Penfield believed at the time he was doing these surgeries that the body was just like a machine. And so as he would do surgeries, he did over 1,000 patients approximately. When he would open their skulls, he found out a way to do it in such a way that the patient could be conscious, and he would actually, with electrodes, zap different places in their brain. It wouldn't hurt them, but as he's zapping these different places in the brain, he's mapping the bodily reaction. So he'd zap this part in their brain, and the arm would go up like this, and he'd zap this part, and their leg would go like this. And as he was doing that, he began to hear patients go, "You're doing that, not me. That wasn't me, that was you." I say that to my kids all the time. what Dr. Penfield became aware of and began to realize is that there was no place that he could poke in the brain with an electrode to make a person believe or decide something. He could move their body, but he couldn't move their mind or their heart or their soul, what they believed. And here's what Penfield concludes. He said, after years of striving to explain the mind on the basis of brain action alone, I've come to the conclusion that it is simpler and far more logical if one accepts that our being consists of two fundamental elements, body and spirit. In other words, you're not just a lump of evolved matter with no meaning and purpose and destiny. He's saying, I can make you do this, but I can't make you believe in here or in here. I can't decide that for you. That's up to you in a way that is separate from me poking on your brain and causing you to respond. Did you know that the night before Jesus was crucified on the cross, he was having dinner with his closest friends, and he told them what was about to happen to his body, and he helped them to think beforehand what they should think about in their mind, heart, and soul. It's recorded in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, and here's what Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." See, what Jesus taught was that the life that we experience on this planet, be it 70 years or 7 years, you are experiencing what you are experiencing right now as life. It is like almost like a birth canal into real life that is being renewed, being redeemed, being restored, being what we were created to experience. And the purpose of our life is not just to go round and round. The purpose of our life is meant to be found in deep, loving relationships that go beyond just our bodies contacting one another, but there's a spirit and a soul love, a depth in the kind of love that God's going, you were created for this. And if you're not experiencing that, that's why you feel so empty. And why no matter what you try, it never satisfies for longer than that day. And why you wake up with such a headache and so much guilt the next day. Because you weren't created for that. You were created for so much more. It's just interesting. All of us were created with a longing to love and be loved. That's what Proverbs 19:22 says. What a person desires is unfailing love. Love. It's what humanity has celebrated throughout history. It's what we hold in high esteem as the greatest value. And at the same time, we all seem to go through so much pain and suffering on this place called Earth, don't we? Yeah. How do you make sense of that? I mean, if it's all just for nothing and the greatest act of sacrifice and endurance through trials and through struggles and yet all of that love that we share along the way, surely it's not just meant to be meaningless. But man, if there's no ultimate relationship, no God who is our creator, who loves us, who has a purpose for our life, if that's not reality, we're just going round and round, round and round. But you know what? I do believe that it is reasonable to believe that what Jesus taught and demonstrated not only makes sense, it makes the most sense about the question, does life have a purpose? Absolutely it does. Especially when it's based around relationships with our Creator and with those whom He has created. Just listen to what Jesus said about love and about relationships in John 15. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Either on the cross or on an operating table with a kidney. You can't get bigger love than that. That kind of sacrificial, deep, relational love. In other words, what Jesus was talking about was that Jesus said the purpose of life is found in loving relationships. Jesus said it starts with loving God, who wants to teach us then how to love sacrificially somebody else. Isn't that what our planet needs most? Those kind of deep, sacrificial, abiding relationships that walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death and are there to rejoice when you come out on the other side. I experienced that with our friends, the Brewers. We've been walking for 3 years. A lot of frustration, a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow, a lot of agony, a lot of money. And there were probably 40 or 50 who were there to see him walk out of the valley. Look at this right here. This is Friday, about 5:30 at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. Look at all their little friends right down there. Look at that fat pastor over there trying to get it on video too. That right there is relationship incarnate. That right there is what it means to be in community. Because every one of those people have a deep purpose found in their Creator and are walking in community with others around them. That's what you were created for. You weren't created to live in isolation. You were created to be in relationship. And when we receive God's grace and we experience God's grace from when we wander far from Him and we begin to share that amazing grace with others and we begin to bless others in His name because they were created in the image of God, we begin to fulfill the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray. Your kingdom come and Your will be done right here on earth as it is in heaven. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. And that's what you were created for. Jesus said that in a relationship with God, that perfect love that we all seek really does exist.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.